Hey everybody, Shane Presley here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight, located in St. Louis, Missouri, right there on the hill at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Hey, come over and check them out. It's a really unique and fun experience over there. It's a recording studio attached to a bar, and they share a Wawa Cha-Cha-Chow, so you can come get some tacos, some cold drinks, hang out in the studio and watching one of your favorite bands in the studio recording. Or, if you got a band, come on over there and record yourself. And it's a lot of fun, and they've been cranking out some killer tunes from you can check out Brother Lee and the Little Jackals, Miss Molly Sims, Fourth City. You know, everybody's been recording over there, and some really high-quality stuff. So check it all out. Full listing of events and everything at GaslightSTL.com. And you can come over there on May 17th and be a part of the Gaslight Sessions recording with Sean James. It's going to be a fun one. They're doing a bunch of other stuff too, with they're doing a Gaslight School for the kids. We're getting younger children involved in music. So a lot of fun things happening for people of all ages. So check it out, GaslightSTL.com. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Drew Schaefer, and you are listening to a Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Drew Schaefer right there. Coming to you from Wildflower in Central West End, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Welcome,
it's good to be up here.
Welcome
yeah.
to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
This is very exciting. I know it's kind of been a long time in the making.
Yep.
We've been
in contact for about 6 months or so.
Yeah, trying to get everything the stars to align, and now we're here, man.
The stars have aligned.
It was really funny when I walked up, and I was running a couple minutes late, like I always am, and Drew's over here across the street entertaining the people and playing some songs and. That was pretty funny.
It's fun, yeah. We thought about doing this outside, and I asked Shane, I asked you if it'd be too windy, and you said you tried one before.
Yeah.
It was
right.
But yeah, I was playing outside, and people like those tunes, you know,
man.
Just playing some, like I was doing, I had my capo on five here.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. Chance where I can make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while.
Anyway, that was fun. And we did the whole the coop, so everybody was singing.
Yeah.
Everybody was singing.
That's a good sing along. Sure.
Yes, it is. Don McLean or Don McLean. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
All right.
But that was a heavy hitter.
Yeah, man.
Talking about that plane crash, I think, with Big Bopper and Buddy Holly and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crashing down.
Yeah, for sure. Day the music died.
No kidding. And then he talks about Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan is the jester in the song.
Yeah.
Talks about the birds. Jumpin' Jack Flash set on a candlestick. Talking about the Rolling Stones. Pepper played a marching tune. That's a nod to the Beatles.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Yep. There's a lot of verses in that song.
For sure.
That song's 17 minutes.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. Like, you're a guy I've been following around for a little while now. I've been seeing you playing a couple of different things, and I love what you do too, with like just as a supporter of music too, with your always bringing the camera around and
for sure
trying to document a lot of it and stuff. And so anyway, I appreciate that also along with the music. So
thank you for noticing and appreciating.
Yeah,
I love doing it. I absolutely love it. I'm a hobbyist when it comes to this form, this medium, the music and the videos and the photos. And
yeah.
It's very therapeutic
for me.
And it's fun because you get to meet a lot of people and you can learn a lot by doing that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's we kind of said it talking off mic earlier, but that's a big part of this show for me, is like just getting out, meeting the people, seeing the different sites, and like
yep.
you know, the music and everything. It's all part of it, you know. It's like, it's not just one, I started just to help my friends, but I love that we're here at Wildflower. You know, I've never been over here yet.
Yep.
You know, different stuff.
That's why I wanted to choose a place where I figured you hadn't gone.
Yeah.
Do a lot of people do it at Foam? Why do I think that?
No, I think
really?
We've only done one at Foam, and that was Neil's.
Okay.
It was Old Souls. Jeremy was there. And
okay.
And then Zach Squatch said, and also.
Okay. What about, where was Old Capitol at?
That was at Gaslight in the in the control room.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a cozy place to be in that control room, isn't it?
Manus Brothers was in there too. And
nice.
A couple of them over there. So.
Oh, I know those guys.
Yeah.
Used to be in a band with the Manus Brothers, the Barn Mice.
Yeah, I have a Barn Mice tape.
Yeah, cassette tape.
Yeah.
It's pink. The actual tape is pink. Yeah, it's like Pepto-Bismol.
Right.
Pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was that your first band around today?
Well,
this, or?
First band I ever played in was Old Capitol Square Dance Club.
Okay.
And I was in that band for about 5 years. And that was a lot of fun. I really, those guys took me under their wing. They're really good players. They're all about 4 years older than me. And I remember I used to follow them around right before I went to law school. So I left. I left for 2 years. But right before I left, I really started to get to know those guys. And I wasn't playing with them. But when I came back, I liked them so much. Like, their songs, like, they spoke to me. Jesse and Zach both.
Yeah.
They're great songwriters. And, man, I would get so into it. And then at one point, Jesse said, "Hey, man, you want to come up here and play harmonica?" This is at the 10 Mile House way down Gravoy in like Afton, Missouri.
Yeah.
And I was like, me? I mean, you really don't care if I play? And I played, and I thought it was just, it was the most exciting thing I think I've ever done. I loved it.
Yeah.
So then I eventually joined the band, and then they kind of let me do what I wanted to do. I mean, they just, I could play guitar or whatever. But those guys are great, and they helped me a lot. So that was the first band. And they always give me, you know, give me a hard time. They're like, hey, man, you're lucky you didn't have to, you know, play in a bunch of crappy bands when you were younger. You just got to jump into what we're doing. And we've been working on this for, you know, since they were little kids, they were taking lessons. And
all right.
So that was the big first band
yeah.
situation. And then during, while I was with Old Capitol, we formed the Barn Mice. And the Barn Mice started in a funny way because Johnny Vegas said that he needed a band for Stag Night. And I was hanging out with the Manos Brothers and Irene. And she's like, hey, do you want to form a band? Like, and we couldn't think of the name for a while. But we liked all those Robin Hood songs, you know, from Disney's Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And those little mice in the, you know, Robin Hood, like the little church mice, but like... So we were like playful. So we had the Barn Mice. And then that was a completely different experience than Old Capitol because they're, you know, the Manos Brothers are younger than me and they hadn't been doing it as long. So we were all kind of, we really grew together musically.
Yeah.
They used to play acoustic a lot back in the early days. And
a little different than what they're doing now.
Oh, totally. Totally. I mean, they always did the electric stuff when I remember, but that was like our other, like, you know.
For sure.
Our fun little, Jake played a washboard. Had like a little bell on it and a little tambourine.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've learned. You know, I don't know, just I guess being younger and just naive, I guess. I didn't realize that, like, you know, I kind of thought people like had one band kind of thing. But like getting into this now, I realize like some people have like, you know, four or five bands
totally,
or whatever.
They
have
totally.
Like, a cover band, an original band. They
yep.
have and then they have like you know, a country band, a rock band, you know, they
definitely
people play all kinds of different genres and all kinds
yes,
of
they
things.
Do. Yes, they do. It's such a good outlet.
Yeah.
I mean, we got like Jeremy Reedy, he's this guy from the jazz department over at SIUE. He graduated from there and he also teaches drum lessons over in Edwardsville at Mojo's. But I mean, that guy, I don't know how many groups he plays jazz, he'll play rock, he'll
right.
play, you know, something with like a punk beat, and just he's so dynamic.
Yeah.
And some of those people, I just love that SIUE jazz department. So many people have come out of there. Curtis Brewer, I don't know if you know him. He's used to be a Yankee Racer.
I just recorded with Curtis the other
I
night.
Love Curtis. Yeah. He's so kind.
Sure.
He jammed with LS Express at Stagger Inn two nights ago.
Yeah.
He just sat in with us and just started ripping, and we're all just like, oh, we're just smiling ear to ear. We're like, Curtis! And I'm like, yeah, man, you know, put my guitar up in the air with him. And like, he's such a sweet guy and he's so talented. But
yeah.
He's from the SIUE jazz department. Same with Pete Moss or Pete Somerville from Old Souls Revival. Same with Josiah Joyce, which is all, he's also in the Old Souls Revival.
Yeah.
Like, they do these harmony guitar licks where they're, you know, playing and harmonizing with each other. And we just sit there and giggle because it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they have all different outlets. I mean,
sure.
Everybody's playing as much as they can play and as much as they can stand it. I mean, people are busy.
Yeah.
People are really out there doing it, and that's what I mean, I feel like I talk about that a little bit. I talk about that a lot, actually, because it really is, like, most people have a full-time job,
mm-hmm.
and then they're also out, like, several nights of the week,
yeah.
staying up quite late. How about seeing you out at Broadway Oyster Bar.
Yeah.
Totally random. Well, it was random for me because I never go there. And it's, you got Sean Cannon.
Yeah, Cannon, yeah.
Playing Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
That night. You were out late, though. You were just like, hey, what's up?
Sure.
It's 1:30. How the heck are you doing?
Right. Yeah, that's my hangout. I love it down there at Broadway Oyster Bar. And that's why I figured I might as well get paid to be there and got a job.
Definitely.
Down there now. And,
it's music central all
yeah,
the time,
man.
And you're back far enough where, or you're up by the door, so you're away from the band, so maybe your ears aren't ringing every
right.
night.
Yeah,
It's another funny thing. Speaking of ears ringing, too, and being out, you know, every other night, Brother Lee is really loud. Yeah. We played with them. They were on the bill the other night at the Stagger, and boy, when they crank those tube amps up, it just fills the entire room with sound. But yeah. I went into work the next day and told my boss. I was like, hey, my ears are ringing from Brother Lee. Literally.
All right. Yeah, I love those guys. They are a ton of fun.
They are.
And I love just watching the success that they, you know, are earning. They're, you know, how they're hustling and
definitely
really getting some great opportunities and stuff. And
they're good entertainers. They have a look, and they know what they're doing. And they're really sweet people.
Yeah,
they're sure. Very approachable. They're very supportive. They're very laid back and relaxed and easy breezy. And they got good guitar tone. And I love Josh's playing. He's real groovy. He finds the groove. He's not like real aggressive. I feel like he doesn't overplay. He's just really like, he's got this swing about him that it's so sure. fun to listen to.
Yeah, man.
Fun to play with as well.
Yeah. Well, you said LS Express, and that's your newest project?
Yeah, it's like the newest incarnation of what we're doing. And it basically started out with just Neil and I, because we would play all together so much. And I don't know if I've ever found anybody that maybe top echelon, big time of experiences as playing with Neil. Like, so much fun to play with. Ask anybody.
For sure.
He just went on tour with Molly Sims' band. Played bass. And she's like, people will call me up and tell me, like, oh, Neil was doing that thing where he, like, jumps around. And he was really, really getting into it. And same, you know, people call me up. And then he plays one time with a Daisy ad. Yeah. And Gavin's calling me up. He's like, dude, Neil was doing the thing. I'm like, isn't he fun to play with? So, yeah, that's how LS Express started out, with just him and I doing, like, duo stuff. And kind of getting to know each other. The first night we met, Molly Sims took me over to Collinsville. And she said, well, you got to come see this band. You're going to like these guys. She's like, he's really good. And I got there. They were doing all these songs that I love. Like, they did a song off of Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks called Simple Twist of Fate. I'd never heard anybody do that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's totally beat me to the punch on, like, everything. And they were rocking hard. And I'm like, this is great. And he had no feet. You know, he was just letting it rip. And that night after the show, we kind of went song for song in the... Actually, I remember it being in the middle of the street with the guitar doing some, like, rare Bob Dylan songs. And I couldn't believe it. And we, like, clicked immediately. And I was like, this guy, he's so cool. You know, I love that guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, but then we kind of went a little bit of electric. Some of the drummers started showing up and bringing their drums. And I'm like, oh, boy, this is fun. And then, you know, the Brother Lee guys at first would show up. And they basically showed us that we needed a backing band, which is crazy. They would just play with us.
Right.
They'd just back us up. And I'm like, this is great. We're getting a lot of power out of this. And, I mean, they're doing their own thing, so we had to just get a band. And Gavin is in it, Jeremy Reedy, Tom Blood, and we have various guitar players also sit in with us. And it's honestly the most fun thing that I think I've ever done.
Yeah.
It feels so good. It just, like, gels, and it's just we just like to have a good time. So, yeah, people have been coming up to us lately, and they're like, man, that was fun.
Right.
And we just let it. I just call it letting it rip. We just let it rip.
You guys, any plans to record any of that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's funny because, yeah, I went over to Tim Gebauer's the other night, and I always heard that he had this studio. Like, I think he produced the River Kitten's first album, and I finally went over there, and that studio is amazing. But anyway, we sat down at the piano, and he hit record. You know, and he got some really good microphones. And hearing it back, it was just Neil on piano, and he's singing and I'm singing, and we couldn't believe the playback. Like, we hadn't even messed around with good equipment like that. I mean, we got, you know, little interfaces and stuff and GarageBand, but it was good. So yeah. Anyway, Tim, I think, might record some songs for us.
Nice. Yeah. I did the River Kittens podcast in the studio over there. So.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Aren't they good too?
Yeah.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a pretty silly one. That was. Those girls are...
They're cheeky, funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of laughs in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's that sounds exciting, though. It'd be fun to get a LS Express
album. Oh, I would love that, yeah. I mean, it kind of like... part of the fun of recording, you know, anything, or just like doing stuff like that you're doing right now, it is documentation. Like sometimes you might want to go back and listen to that. I may want to go hear it in 40 years, what LS Express was doing, you know, after a year, I guess 2 years after Neil and I knowing each other. It's like, what were we doing? What were we singing? Right. And, you know, you get your standard songs that you play all the time, and you got some that you just throw in randomly, and like, we joke because if we ever sit down to write, we can definitely write a song, but we've only done it one time, but we're so busy.
Right.
I mean, usually, you know, if we're meeting up when we're not playing gigs, it's like we're eating brunch or whatever, or lunch, or but we need to get out more and like in a park and just write some tunes. But anyway, we're thinking about that. We call it, we're just going straight Please Please Me on the first album, which is the Beatles' first record, and they did a lot of covers, half originals.
Yeah.
But one thing we do, we play a lot of our friends' songs. Like we play a Fred Friction cover. We do a lot of Old Capitol, Square Dance Club songs, Old Capitol. Just funny, Neil recently got into David Beeman, some of his stuff from Old Lights. I don't know if you've heard of David Beeman.
Yeah.
I guess he's on tour now with Father John Misty doing his sound, but Neil's been diving into his album, so next thing I know, we're singing, you know, David Beeman songs.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we'll be hanging out, and then he'll just walk into where we're playing, after we played, you know, we're like, oh, dude, we just played some of your songs, or one of your songs, at San Lou, you know? Something I feel like it gives you a little more, I feel like you have a little bit more of a right to cover your friend's song. It just, because it's closer to you, you know, because you can talk to them and you can see if they don't care if you play their song.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
I think there was a lot of that too, like just a lot of groups, you know, starting out, like playing a lot of their friend's stuff and then like.
Totally.
And then it gives them, you know, hey, oh, you like that? Well, here, check out our friends and stuff.
Definitely. So. It's like links in a chain.
Right.
It's like somebody takes a little something, an idea, the next people take it, and you kind of find yourself. A lot of people say that's what you need to do anyway, is find a few, like, few of your favorite musicians and kind of learn their style, and then you can find your own voice through, you know, what your heroes or whatever, whoever you pick to study.
Right.
And then you kind of branch off from that.
Yeah.
Like, it's natural to me to play some Old Capitol songs because I used to be in that band.
Right.
And every now and then wrote a couple verses to their songs or whatever, maybe wrote a small part to a song.
Yeah. Well, you can come out and see Drew with LS Express on Saturday, the 13th of May at Canton Inn.
Yeah, that one's just me, but...
Oh, okay.
I did the same, you know. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm playing there. Canton Inn in Hillsboro, Illinois, an old historical town.
But then... May 25th, the Heavy Anchor with LS Express.
That's right.
Yeah. And May 27th, again, LS Express in Ironton, Missouri.
Yep. It's going to be a festival.
Yeah.
And the premises is a very old historical church and school grounds.
Very nice.
And that community has a state house that has a cannon blast, a piece where a cannonball hit the side of the building. You can see this from Civil War days.
Huh.
Pretty crazy.
It's pretty very wild, yeah.
Historical town. Good old Missouri.
Yeah.
Got the history.
And then you have a couple weekly shows that you play out around town. You every Tuesday night here at Wildflower.
Woo!
9 to 12.
Yes. That's a blast.
Yeah.
I love, this place is fun. Central West End, different than South City, because mixing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Getting out of your comfort zone, going into a different neighborhood. No, I love it.
Yeah. And Wednesdays over at Layla, Manchester with Neil.
Yep. And bring your guitar, anyone listening, bring your bass amp, come on up there and plug in. It's not an open mic night, but it's, you know, it's just
jamming welcome.
Why not?
All right. I was went on your Bandcamp page and was listening to some tunes on there, some of the recordings that you have currently, and Jump Ship.
Yeah, that's the one Neil and I wrote together.
Yeah, which is like, man, that's such a great song. It's like, that should be a hit.
You gotta strike while the iron's hot. And Emily Wallace said one time that she said that she has song ideas when she's in the shower. So, you gotta strike while the iron's hot. But it's hard when you're living in the shower.
Yeah.
You know, then Neil sometimes had screaming neighbors. So, you gotta strike while the iron's hot, but it's hard when all you hear are screaming neighbors.
That's,
yeah.
That's your Neil impression?
Yeah.
Working on that?
I can't. Yeah, I'm working on it. I can't do it as good as he can, but as well as he would say, well, you can probably do it better than I could, buddy. Yeah.
You gotta strike while the iron's hot, but it's tough when you're living in the shower. Well, you gotta strike while the iron's hot, but it's hard when all you hear are screaming neighbors. Well,
hey, you looking for some new music? Check out Music Record Shop in St. Louis, Missouri, located in the .Zec building. Come over there anytime, but every Friday they have new records in store, including stuff from Chris Stapleton, Descendants, Bob's Burger soundtrack. You know, they got a bunch. And you always can pre-order your new records, up-and-coming records like Jason Isbell, Pokey LaFarge, you know, all kinds of things. And full listing of all the titles at musicrecordshop.com.
You can shop online 24/7 there. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and keep an eye out. They got a lot of like fun events going on with live in-stores and all kinds of sales and specials and stuff. So always giving away records and tickets and things. So check it out. Pay to support and shop local. Your musicrecordshop.com.
That but yeah, man, that's a great tune, and I love the line there. Stroke your ego in 1080.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I hope you brought your camera so somebody can point it right back at you and make sure it shoots video, baby, to forever stroke your ego in 1080.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I love that tune, though.
Thanks for listening to it.
For sure, man. That was a lot of fun. And then you had another one up there called St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, that's a new one I've been working on.
Where you were kind of heard a little piece of it over there.
I'll just show you a little bit. Do you care if I show you a little bit of that one?
Of course, yep. Go ahead and play if you want.
I'm going to do it in the key of G. No, you know what? No, I'm not. I wrote it in the key of E. St. Louis, St. Louis, you've been good to me, showing me Pokey Lafarge and Chuck Berry. I don't spend much time by your river, 'cause I'm in the clubs and bars. And ever since I moved home from Seattle town, you made me a appreciate my car. I gotta follow my heart wherever it takes me. I gotta follow my heart whenever it calls me. I gotta follow my heart wherever it calls me. Follow my heart right now, my heart's here with you. St. Louis, St. Louis, you've helped me kill my fears. I've been dwelling around your city now for about 7 years. You're still a mysterious gem. Someday I'm gonna explore your underground crystal cave. Don't know who checked those caves out first, whether it was the Cahokian Indians or the French when they came back in the day. But remember, yeah, you got to follow your heart wherever it takes me. I got to follow my heart whenever it calls for me. I got to follow. I've got to follow my heart wherever it takes me. I've got to follow my heart whenever it calls for me. I've got to follow my heart wherever it calls me. I've got to follow.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Crowd goes wild. You kind of tell us a little bit of your story in that song, I think.
It does. Dude, man, I would love to tell you the inspiration for that. I shouldn't do it because I was told not to tell. But there's this famous guy in town, and one of my friends knows this other friend who's this other guy's photographer. And so we got on the video shoot of a couple of videos, and I saw one of the videos that we were in. And it was so professionally done, and it's one of the best music videos I've ever seen. It's done by this guy who does a bunch of music videos, like for like Weezer and a bunch of very popular bands. The movie was so good, and where we were watching it at, we were up really, really high. I think like, I guess 3 or 4 stories high, and there was this huge porch, and you could overlook the entire city. And seeing that video of this guy, it was so well done. I was like, I had like, I don't know, like electric feelings of electricity just buzzing through me. And I went home and wrote it in like, you know, 1 second. I mean, I kind of took a lot of the inspiration from it from John Lennon.
Yeah.
The melody. But yeah, I wrote that one I just have it laying around, you know.
Right. I'm
not really doing anything with it. I just like it. I think it's a fun song.
For sure, man. Was there some auto biographical stuff in there about Seattle and stuff?
Yeah, I moved out to Seattle for a little bit and lived there for about 4 years. Excuse me, 4 months.
Yeah?
Yeah. And, yeah.
What
I came back.
What took you out there?
A very sweet person, a girl named Annette, she moved out there to work at Amazon, and she's like, you should get your butt out here. I was like, oh gosh, do I really want to move? And I took a chance and hung out.
Yeah.
Very interesting city.
And then when you came back home?
I came back home.
Were you born and raised here in St. Louis?
I was born in Vandalia, Illinois.
Okay.
It's the second state capital of Illinois. And it's about an hour away. An hour east. Yeah. As Kurt Copeland said, he's like, it has the arch.
Yeah.
It has a little mini arch. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I do recall you guys talking about that on his show.
Yeah. It's a town of 7,000 people. There's a correctional center there. They used to call it the State Farm. There's a Walmart. There's a little downtown that's trying to pick back up. There's a really cool coffee shop. A couple cool coffee shops there.
Right.
But it's just very, it's an old school town. It used to be the state capital.
Sure.
Some old buildings and some, I mean, you grew up going to the state house for field trips and stuff, and you hear stories about Abraham Lincoln and how one time he didn't want to vote. His vote was the determining factor on some law they were going to pass, so he just hopped right out the window, didn't take any part in it.
Huh.
You hear stuff like that.
All right.
Some people thought that Abraham Lincoln looked like Colonel Sanders.
You got your the Gibson you've been playing here.
I brought the SJ200.
Beautiful guitar. Is that
man?
How long you had this one?
I've had this one for about, I would say, 7 or 8 months. Big shout out to Andy Garces and Swing City Music for totally hooking me up with this guitar. I love the tone. Big shout out to Donovan of the 60s to show me how to finger pick like this. He didn't show me how to finger pick, but I tried to. He showed John Lennon how to finger pick.
Right.
Yeah. The tone. Another thing I do is put these silk and steel strings on there. Makes it real buttery and smooth. That's also Donovan did that. Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, his friend Joan Baez, she taught Donovan. She said Donovan liked her tone, and he said, "What's going on with that sound?" And she said, "Labella silk and steel." So, silk and steel strings.
Yeah,
I'm a fan. Not all the time. It's good to switch them up.
Cool.
I made a note in my phone to talk about that. I just restrung this today, and I've only restrung it, I think, 1 or 2 times since I've had it, but there's something symbolic about changing strings to me. It's like a whole new life. You know what I mean? It's like a new world. and I was kind of relaxing to restring it and think about, oh man, I've been in the city for this long, and I'm going to go on this Rock Paper podcast that I've been wanting to do for a while, and it's a really fun opportunity. But then I was thinking, like, man, changing strings is kind of symbolic of change.
Sure.
I've been going through a lot of changes lately.
Yeah.
Don't let the changes get you down, man. Don't let the changes get you down. Don't let the changes get you down, man. Don't let the changes get you tight. Afghan and Syria, the absurdity of greed. How much can one man possibly need? Sickness and disease and ignorance on every side. Don't let the changes get you tight. Button your coat and let's go. Butter your toast and I'm gonna go. Off to the coast we must go. Don't wanna boast, but I climb much better there. Don't let the changes get you down, man. Don't let the changes get you down.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, those are my new strings. Thanks for asking about it. That's why I get so excited to talk about music, because I can talk about my guitar.
Yeah.
So you're a fan. I mean, you immediately knew. You pay attention to, I mean, you like instruments, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
check
know.
Check it out.
I don't know anything about them. I just, I'm just a fan.
It's kind of heavy.
Yeah. I just admire it, man. I don't know. I wish I could play.
I was going to say, play a chord on that thing.
Oh, I don't.
You should.
I don't even know what a chord is.
I got you. I got you.
Actually, there's a picture a friend of mine shared online a while back, and it made me laugh because, like, I don't even recall the picture. I must have been at some house party kind of thing, and I picked up somebody's guitar. And
yeah.
I just was strumming and writing these dumb songs about my friends at the party and stuff, and it was pretty entertaining.
Fun to get. I mean, how much fun can that? Sure. I mean, singing songs with friends.
Right. Imagine if I applied myself, I might be able to, you know, actually learn something and like take some lessons.
Oh, you could.
Or whatever. But
I recommend it. Yeah. I think you definitely should. I think you should consider it. I think you should maybe pick one or two songs, three, four chord songs, right, and just learn them.
It is kind of a bucket list thing for me to.
You should definitely do it.
To write a song, write, you know, just a little. I'm a big fan of singer songwriters.
Totally.
And it'd just be a lot of fun for me to go and just write and record a song or something like that. And
I think it would definitely change your life
for
the better.
Yeah.
I really do. I think I recommend.
I'd have to get somebody else to sing it. Well,
you could be the writer and then just strum it.
Yeah,
I'll sing one.
Yeah.
You want me to? Neil and I will sing one.
It's definitely something I think about a lot. Just like, I don't know exactly what it did be, because that thing, like, you know, when I listen to as much music as I do, and it's like whenever I sit down to write, like, all that comes out is everybody else's lyrics that, you know, all these songs
for
I've been
sure.
hearing for all my life. So
definitely, maybe if you started playing a little bit and you just haven't. You know, the guitar in your hands, and you know, you strum a few chords, you might be able to have some lyrics just pop into your head, or at least get you kind of in that mode where maybe you're walking around doing the dishes or whatever, and then just some line comes in your head, and you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
That might be a good line for a song, and then just kind of work it in.
Sure. I mention it a lot on here, but I have a theory, like, if you hang around an old man long enough, that you just, like, they have these one-liners like that they've been saying for years, and like you're like, that's a hook in a song right there. Like,
yep.
So I've been. and then Drew just took off on his Harley. So. But no, I would love to do something like that, man.
You
fun.
Should.
Yeah.
Somebody made me get a guitar. And it, I mean,
how long was that? 2004 or something like that.
Yeah. Thank you for
did a little bit of homework.
Yeah. Right after out of high school, so there'd be kids hanging out at this place called the P or the OP, the old pool or the pool at St. Anthony. Well, these people were from St. Anthony High School, and there would be the kids playing the guitars, you know, playing Blackbird and. Playing some Dave Matthews song, and I just was like, man, that looks fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't play in high school. I did it later.
All right.
But my friend, Larry Gale, I always tell the story because I mean, I just can't not tell the story. But he made me go get a guitar. I worked at Sonic, America's Drive-In, that fast food chain, which was awesome. My boss was Cindy Moulton. She runs quite a few of those, and I love Cindy Moulton and her entire family, and Josh, her son, and Joe, her husband. Anyway, just name dropping like crazy. I just really, no, it was really fun to work there. But anyway, my friend was like, buddy, we got to go get you a guitar. And I cashed my check, and we went and got a guitar. And he literally just showed me my first chord, which is, you only hold two down, E minor.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in a church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window.
You know, and then that's the
all the lonely people, where do they all come from?
Just one chord, you know. But I was intimidated at first, because it looks like a, it's like a rocket ship or some alien life form, you know, with this thing with strings on. I don't know. I didn't know how to hold it.
Sure.
I didn't know anything. And I would say that's probably one of the biggest factors that has changed, you know, made me, I guess, who I am.
Definitely.
That's a funny thing to even think of who you are. That's an ego thing.
Right.
Who am I really?
Right. Well, yeah, just think if he wouldn't have.
Oh, I know.
Made you do that? Where, you know, what
I don't know. Like, I don't know if I ever would have. Yeah, good point.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about one isolated incident that changed your life. You know, so
totally
put you on a different path, and
definitely.
You're here talking about it on a radio show.
Very, yeah. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah,
thanks,
man. Thank you. I'm so glad this worked out.
Right? Oh yeah. Has it already been in like an hour or something?
Yeah, like, 40 minutes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I feel like we've been sitting down for two minutes.
Yeah, but we do have to wrap this thing up. We got to get out of here. They got some big things going on here at Wildflower. But I do appreciate them allowing us to hang out here and
definitely
and talk. So
it's been great.
Yeah. But again, Tuesdays Wildflower here 9 to 12. Wednesdays Layla, and then come on out. You can see Drew at the Canton Inn Saturday the 13th, Heavy Anchor with LS Express on the 25th, and in Ironton, Missouri, there's a festival over there with LS Express on the 27th.
Yep.
So come on out to those shows and follow along. Does LS Express have a Facebook?
We do. Yeah. We do. Yep.
So you can get on there.
We spell it, you know, L period S period. XPRSS.
Yeah.
Luke Schaefer Express. All aboard. Yep.
So you follow along, and we're going to, like I said, keep up, because there's a lot of fun things happening, and hopefully we'll have a LS Express record shortly.
I would love that.
Yeah, man.
That would be great. Shane, thank
you. Thank
you,
buddy.
Guys, thanks for all the listeners, too. And we got to tell the people, we got to tell the audience that there's somebody who has a Rock Paper Podcast hat, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is super, super cool.
Yeah, I've talked about it a little bit on how, like, but yeah, it's unreal, like, that, my friend Jennifer recently, she devoted, like, a whole sleeve to St. Louis music, all of our friends in rock bands and stuff that she's a big fan of, and...
That is really cool.
Yeah, it's unreal, like, to think that, like, that the show means
it's
that
meaningful
much to somebody, and yep, they put it on their skin like that, and like it's
inspiring.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so definitely help keep the fire lit. Wanted to keep hustling and but yeah, it means the world to me, and I'm glad it meant that much to her to want to do that. So
you're doing a lot. You're out everywhere.
Yeah, man. Thanks, buddy.
Traveling.
I'm traveling, man.
You really are. You're from way out in the county, too.
Yeah.
So you got to drive, and but it doesn't stop you.
Well, I love it, though. It's like I said, it's a lot of fun for me to get to hang out with guys like yourself and just talk these tunes. And
thank you.
Yeah, man.
I love it, too.
For sure.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times and great oldies.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Later, guys.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.